Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim Hughes, Russ Smith from Sky Call, of course, and Navadomskis is also with us this morning. Mike, you and I have had many conversations about our disappointment with the way the ski season came to an end. And for you, I mean, it really, it struck you hard, didn't it?
It was so horrific. I was on a great pace. I was going to make not only my 50-day goal, I was going to get 55 in, but mostly we had that ski-in, ski-out condo up in Whistler, which is incredibly hard to get.
Yeah.
And we had it for 9 days, and my whole family coming.
Well, including this part of your family, Becky and I were going to tag along, and that was something we were really looking forward to. But look, these things have been out of all of our control as we wrapped up the season, and many of us thought we were going to have a lot more days on the hill. No more disappointing for folks out there than the people that work for these resorts, I can tell you that. And Margo Van Ness is with us from Park City Resort and Vail Resorts today. Margo, I mean, you can speak for yourself, but I'm sure it was just a shock to everyone in your office on how this thing all came together or fell apart, I guess.
Thanks, first of all, thanks so much for having me on, and certainly I can share the sentiment that you both are feeling. I mean, it was a really difficult decision to have to close for the season in mid-March, right? I don't think any of us saw that coming, but we knew it was the most responsible path forward for the health and well-being of our guests, our employees, and our communities where we operate. And so, yes, it was certainly an abrupt end to the season, but it was really the best decision.
Yeah.
And we agree, by the way.
Yeah.
It was the responsible choice. We absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, and in any season, it would have been difficult if we were just buying day passes. But at a time in this industry when we're buying passes that get us not only to Park City, but get us to other Vail resorts in the form of the Epic Pass, it raised a whole lot of other questions for people about whether they got their money's worth or whether there should be some kind of refund of some kind for people. And it's been almost impossible to navigate those waters. I want to say that right up front for the company to try and figure out how to navigate those waters, because just like the virus itself, we're in uncharted territory here.
That's right. You really hit it on the head. I mean, this is not when we were really diving into this to try and solve for our really loyal pass holders. We realized this is not a one size fits all approach. Right, it's very customized and needs to be comprehensive so that we can address and honor the loyalty of our pass holders. We so appreciate our loyal pass holders, and we want to give them some peace of mind right now in the face of uncertainty. So as we read all of the emails and all of the social commentary, we really took the feedback into consideration when we created our plan. And realize that, yeah, you know, there are too many particular scenarios to address to just do this as a one-size-fits-all. And so we did make this into a very customized approach. And so what we did this week was we announced a plan that addresses both last season and then also that looks forward to next season as well. And first, we recognize that our pass holders were disappointed when we closed the resorts for COVID-19. We just heard some commentary around that, right? People were disappointed at the abrupt end. And we also recognized that maybe some people didn't have a chance to use their pass at all. Maybe they were waiting for spring break. So we are providing credits to our 2019-20 season pass holders based on the price of their pass and then also the amount that they were able to use their pass. And then they can take that and apply it to a season pass for next year of equal or greater value. So what this means is every pass holder will receive a minimum credit of 20%. And then pass holders who use their pass less than 5 days are eligible for higher credit. So those who maybe didn't use their pass at all, they'll get a credit of 80%. To put it into context, if someone purchased a pass last season in November, and they didn't use it at all, they didn't have a chance to use it this season, they'll get a credit of $790 to use next season.
Wow. Yeah, and so you're basically paying another $100, I think, to ski an entire other season in some cases.
That's right. And in some cases, that's exactly right. So we are encouraging our pass holders, start checking your email middle of May. We'll have a very customized email to each pass holder with your particular credit scenario. And then you have until Labor Day to make your decision. So the other thing we recognize is that this is a very dynamic, ever-changing situation. We didn't want to rush our pass holders with having to decide what to do during this uncertain time. So all of our traditional spring deadlines have been moved out to Labor Day.
All right. And that, of course, is perfect for people that have been in maybe a furlough job that will be coming back here, hopefully in the next week, if not sooner, for many people.
Hey, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to question, obviously, my family doesn't fit within that category of not skiing. We skied hard. So what kind of compensation would we, you know, my wife, my boys, all of us receive if we skied? You know, I mean, I got probably more than most people. Like I say, I got 40-some days in. But my point is there any compensation for us?
Yes, all of our pass holders will receive a minimum of 20% in credits. So that, yeah, if you ski 20-plus days, you're also acknowledged in this plan as well. So, yeah, it would be a minimum of 20, and then it would scale up to 80, depending on how much you were able to use your pass.
So the price of the Epic Pass for next year, less 20% is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. It depends on the price of your pass for this season. So it's a little customized in that way. So again, we are encouraging people to, in that mid-May, when you get those individual emails, that'll give you more clarity into your exact scenario. So it is based on the price of what you paid for your pass this year, and then those credits that are applying for what you would be eligible for with those credits.
All right, so the deadlines have been moved too. I also noticed that, and you've always been able, I think, to purchase this Epic coverage, which protects you, but you're going to throw that in too? Is that, I hope I don't misunderstand.
Well, this is, no, thank you for that. I'm glad we're having a chance to talk about this. So what we wanted to do was then acknowledge the future of the uncertainty that exists, right? So people are nervous maybe about making a decision on a season pass right now. So we're launching Epic Coverage. This is brand new. It's free for all pass holders. It's completely replacing the need to purchase insurance, and it provides pass holders now with cash refunds if they have an eligible injury, job loss, any other qualifying personal event that prevents them from using their pass. But what it also does is it will provide a cash refund for certain resort closures. So this includes events like COVID-19. It will give, you know, pass holders a refund for any portion of the season that is potentially lost. Now, we're confident we'll enjoy a great upcoming ski and ride season, but we did want to address the uncertainty. So it is different. It's important to note it is different than pass insurance. It just completely replaces that need to purchase any kind of pass insurance. It will come with all of our season passes, and it's free for all pass holders.
Have you also lowered the upfront cost for people to secure a pass for next season?
Yeah, so the $49 down will also go through the Labor Day deadline. So, again, we are extending all of our traditional spring deadlines out to Labor Day, and that does include that $49 down.
Wow. So many bases to cover when you don't know what bases need to be covered. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, but it does sound like it's a fairly comprehensive deal. And for anybody that holds an Epic Pass, there's not going to be a check in the mail, but what you will have is credit toward next season's Epic Pass with the assurance that should the virus come back in the fall and cause any problems with next winter, that you're going to be covered in that regard, too.
That's exactly right. And EpicPass.com, of course, has more information for folks to go on and really understand these programs better and understand the credits that apply specifically to them.
Yeah. Boy, and the idea that you can extend that now through Labor Day, I think it takes a lot of heat off of people at the moment as well, as they wait if they've been furloughed or lost their job to get back in. But no, they want to get out and do some skiing next winter. Any last words, Mr. Navidomskis?
No. Let's just hope that the snow is as good next year as it was this year.
That's right.
Yeah, another one of those things that's out of our control, but somehow, some way, our resorts and the great Wasatch Mountains of Utah always seem to be able to deliver. Margo, we sure appreciate it. This has been welcome news because I know there's been a ton of questions out there and a lot of misinformation that, quite frankly, has been going around. So we wanted to do our part in helping to set the record straight.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
All right. Margo Van Ness joining us for you Epic Pass holders out there. Hopefully we've answered all of your questions. Stay with us. We'll have more of KSL Outdoors Radio coming up here in just a minute. Don't go away.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh la la, oh my, things get cooking well, 4 to 5. Men get stupid and women roll their eyes, and Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry.
I just wonder if there's a fish fry going on at camp. Or, I have noticed, Navidopsis, that you have now changed this officially from an RV to a condo on wheels. Is that stepping up in the world or what?
No, no. This is just something to say until I get a name. I'm trying to think of a name for my machine here.
So it's a condo on wheels until you can come up with Sally or...
Right, yeah. Right. Well, I think Mabel is kind of one, but yeah, we're thinking of a name. Right now, I just call it In the Condo.
Do I dare ask where Mabel might have come from?
Yeah, it was a maid way, way back.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk fishing here for a minute. I did sneak a little. Oh, before we do that, I know what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about the text that you received from Hackett. He said he was going to reach out to you since you missed the conversation when we had him on.
Yeah, he sent me a text, says he wants to come up and go fishing and hopefully play some golf. And, we're going to do that. He knows what I look like now because he's a Facebook buddy.
Yeah. Well, if you follow him on Facebook, you'll know he's a golf nut, too. Almost every day he's come up with different little trick shots to take around the house just to keep himself occupied, I guess.
I watch him. I watch him, too. And he's got a new baby in the house, so he probably isn't getting much sleep either.
Right. Yeah, sleep deprivation will make you do weird things on top of the quarantine. All right, let's talk fishing for a minute. I did sneak a little peek at one of your reports online. You showed a picture of a nice brown, first of all, but secondly, you were talking about how the water has really come up and gotten a little muddy as of the last week or so.
That's correct. If you remember from last week and the week before, I was telling people, hurry and get to the river because it was in peak condition. I mean, I was catching them 12 an hour and 8 an hour is a really good rate. And, you know, I'd go out for under 2 hours and get like 14 browns and 9 whites. It was great fishing, and they were nice fish. I mean, I'm really impressed. Don't ever underestimate a little Weber River. If it were ranked nationally, it'd be in top 20. It'd be a top 20 river. But even in Utah, it doesn't get near the respect that it deserves. But there's been a lot of anglers, obviously, with the quarantine things. The COVID people are all over the river and floating it. I mean, I think the Weber River has always had the potential to be a good floating river. But with the temps rising, it got a little muddy. It's getting pretty muddy, and it's significantly higher with the runoff. But it's still fishing better early than late because as the day gets hotter, more mud comes down. So by afternoon, it could be, you know, red mud color. In the morning, it's still kind of an off royally green, which is better. It's better for the fishing.
Yeah. You have also mentioned that some of the guys that hang out up there where you hang out have had to change the way they're rigging up to have a little more success because of that water right now.
Right, right. Everybody thinks this has worked for me last time, it's going to work for me again. No, you've got to lengthen those leaders if you're fly fishing. You've got to go deeper. Usually, I like about a 9-foot leader when I'm fishing the Provo or the Weber. But right now, we're almost a 10-footer. You're going to go up. you still got to be near the bottom, and the water's so much higher that you can fish all day and think that they're not taking it. But the truth is your flies aren't down low enough to where they are. By the way, the lakes are fishing really good. I got good reports coming out of Lost Creek and East Canyon again. Again, those two hot spots haven't slowed. Fishing is phenomenal. If you're fishing East Canyon, I recommend red and purple. So get something up front with purple and something behind red or vice versa. And, of course, Strawberry, the ice off, is fishing great. Everybody's having a great time. Flow tubing is really good, and I suspect it'll continue to be good over the next month.
By the way, Schofield and Strawberry, if you go to the division website and look under their link of places to fish, Strawberry and Schofield both come in with 4 out of 5 stars. Current Creek does too, but you know where the hot spots are? With 5 stars out of 5, the community ponds right now, like Wayne Bartholomew Family Park Pond up in Davis County. They're talking about rainbow trout, brown trout, cutthroats, and the fishing has been fantastic.
Absolutely.
I would think that has a lot to do with the stocking, however.
Right, right. It has three things that's going on right now. The biggest reason, of course, the DWR, this is when they go ahead and put everything in because the water temperatures are still cool enough to support trout. They're going to die in June. They put them in now. And the quarantine, the effects of people walking from their homes, being in a close place is putting the pressure on those community ponds. And, of course, it's a great time to be fishing them. So the reports are going to be glowing without question. And don't underestimate those little community ponds. They are a blast.
Yeah, I was trying to, while you were talking, go back and pick up one of the other ones. The Burroughston Pond was one of them. Maybe that's the one I was thinking of down in Utah County. Yeah, Burroughston Ponds. Another one of those that's 5 out of 5 stars and has been stocked recently. The DWR forecast, which is within the last week, says fish can be caught using a variety of popular baits, lures, or flies. And they are just waiting for you to get out there, bring the kids, and with the sunshine that's expected this weekend, I would think it would be a perfect time to get out.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, we throw some other intention to Farmington Pond, Kaysville Pond, Syracuse Pond, Steeds Pond. These are all Davis County ponds. And a lot of people say, well, flies are working, but I don't know how to fly fish. Well, don't think of your fly as a surface thing. Just get like a pheasant tail or a hare's ear, something small, and put one little split shot on it to take it down. The kids will love it because the bluegills just can't stop eating it, and you're going to get a trout here and there too.
All right, fish on. That's Fish Bites for you this week. Hang on. We've got ABC News coming at the top of the hour. We'll get the latest on all things Corona, and we will also talk with Heather Talley, the Upland Game Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, and get you ready for the spring turkey hunt in Utah. Don't go away.